This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
I'm almost tempted to try to emulate Charlie by impersonating her voice, but I don't think I better do that. She's probably tuned in from her new home, just a hip hop, skip, and a jump from Rednersville in Prince Edward County. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show. I'm Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden, and today sitting in the captain's chair, and across from me is Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario, who very kindly is going to be the guest host for today and again next week to give Charlie a little bit of time to get things taken care of with the new house. You know how that goes, Dennis.
Oh, yeah. She needs a good rest, that Charlie, doesn't she?
She sure does. As a matter of fact, Shirley and I, on our way back from Prince Edward County, we're there for 6 days at one of my favorite spots in the whole world, Lake on the Mountain. And so on the way back, we stopped in to see the new house. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Yeah, really absolutely delightful.
Yeah. And there's going to be pressure on her, never mind the house. How about the garden, Frank?
Oh, yeah, well.
Right? There's going to be a lot of pressure from you and me.
A lot of landscaping to come there, you know, because it's just basically dirt at the moment.
Yeah.
And not the kind of dirt you want to throw grass seed on it.
Yeah.
You know, the
maybe she could phone in today for some advice.
There
maybe.
You go. Yes. That's a good idea, which reminds me, I better get the phone numbers on the air in case anyone might like to fire a question at Dennis. By all means, we'd love to see him stumped. Anyway, the phone number for the Toronto area, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra goes this way, call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, let Duncan, our operator, know, and he'll let me know, and before I get to the airwaves, you're going to get that. Yeah, your garden wings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frank, was that your first horticultural pun of the day?
What was that?
You said we'd like to get him stumped.
Well, you got right to the root of the problem already.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Oh, you're running rings around me. I can tell. Oh, I've got to stop.
He's branching off again.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's talk just a little bit before we take phone calls in just a couple of moments. A little bit about Landscape Ontario. Tell us what that is and what you guys do.
Mm-hmm. So the official title is Landscape Ontario Horticultural Trades Association, which is a bit of a mouthful, but it is a not-for-profit association. We have over 3,000 members across the province, anything from Windsor to Ottawa up to Sudbury.
Mm-hmm.
And a member is typically a landscape contractor, an irrigation company, a garden, anyone that's in the green profession. And they mainly join us, Frank, for the educational benefits of an association. So we're ramping up right now for the fall and winter season, where we offer all sorts of educational courses. Mm-hmm. We put on a fabulous trade show. And the whole thing is geared towards the green profession to what we like to say is raise the bar in the profession. So to make sure that when your listeners are hiring a contractor, going to a garden center, they're getting the best of the best,
right,
of people that have been trained and often certified.
Yeah, a number of times we get calls about trees. And,
yes,
of course, people starting, we advise them, of course, try to work with a certified arborist.
Yes.
And by going through to Landscape Ontario, you can recommend various people for the areas, right?
Absolutely. We've recently revamped our website, landscapeontario.com. So coming to that is a great resource for gardeners to find out gardening information. And as you rightly said, get connections. It's getting a little technical, little complicated some of the aspects of horticulture gardening. And I you mentioned arborist. You couldn't pick on a better subject. The thought of someone up on top of a stepladder wielding a chainsaw scares the heck out of me. And so from just a liability standpoint, please visit our website, get some contacts of professionals in the industry that you can contact and rest assured that you're going to get a great service.
Great stuff. Okay. Landscape Ontario. Just looked it up online. Meantime, we're going to take a quick little break and we'll come back. Oh, an old favorite of ours is on the line. That would be Warner from Tilsonburg. We'll be talking to him next here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And sitting in Charlie's chair today is Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. And, you know, I was mentioning that our first caller online is Werner from Tilsonburg. I know he's got a question about a mulberry tree, but before we get to that, Werner, I'd like you, because I was quickly explaining to Dennis about your fabulous recipe for growing huge tomatoes. Do you want to give that recipe again for me? Hey, Werner. Hello, Werner. There you are.
There he is.
The recipe is, you take a water bottle or any bottle, plastic bottle, cut out the bottom, and stick the bottle into the ground when you planted your tomato close to the roots, as deep as you can go.
Right.
Then you put in 2 tablespoons of fat-free skim milk.
Right.
1 tablespoon of the salt.
Epsom salts.
Epsom salts.
There we are.
Hey, you saved my day.
Okay.
I had a moment again.
That's all right. So.
And then you water it.
Yep.
You stick the hose in that bottle, and it dissolves both items, and goes right to the root. You do that once a week. You have no black rot on the tomatoes, and you get beautiful fruit, and the tomatoes, they grow like trees.
Wow.
Fabulous. That's great. Thanks for doing that, Werner.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now, let's address your initial question here, and that was a mulberry tree?
Mulberry? First, I have to say, Charlie developed an English accent, eh?
But she has, yeah. It's a little deeper than her accent, too.
A little deeper, eh?
Not much deeper.
I might. That whispering mulberry tree.
Yeah.
I understand there's 2 kinds. This one is that doesn't bears any berries.
Right. Yeah. So there is
1 year old, 6 feet tall.
Wow.
3 inch thick. And it has rusty marks on the leaves. When you touch the leaves, they fall right off.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Werner, you hit the nail on the head there with your description. It is actually a rust disease. It's a spore, so it's often spread by wind.
What, a spore?
Yeah, it's a spore. It's spread by wind or spread by rain.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, today would be a good example that's going to spread around the tree and around your garden. In general, it doesn't do a lot of harm. It's an aesthetic thing. It's a visual thing. People don't like the look of it. If, however, it really took off, too many brown spots in a leaf, obviously, if there's not enough green, it doesn't photosynthesize. And so that could be harmful. But in general, the solution is, if it gets too bad, is to pick off the affected leaves as quickly as you can and get rid of them. Don't compost them. And thinking ahead, you might want to think about a dormant spray next March before the tree comes into leaf.
A dormant?
a dormant spray. As the name suggests, you put it on when the tree is dormant, when it's not in leaf. And
what's the name of that dormant spray?
It'll come under different brand names, but if you just go to a independent garden center and ask for a dormant spray, it'll tend to be a lime sulfur and oil mix that you mix together in March. And that put it on your calendar, Werner. It'll give you a nice job to do and on a sunny day in March.
There you go.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, that's great.
What I tried was I put Defender fungicide on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it sort of helped a bit.
Yeah, it will help. The old adage is you know, prevention is better than cure. So if you can get ahead of a problem and stop it at the early stages, what you're doing is trying to react to the problem, which is great, good for you. Trying to be preventive is way better. So
Dormant spray,
sir. Yeah,
you got it.
And soap and what else mix?
It's a lime sulfur and a dormant oil. So the sulfur is the active ingredient, and the oil is basically the way that it's dispersed, the way that you get that product to stick on the tree.
The folks at the garden center that you deal with will make sure you get the right thing,
yeah.
Werner.
Okay. Sulfur is the active ingredient.
Lime sulfur, yeah. So Frank wants you to phone in next March, right, Frank?
Exactly.
And tell us how that little project's going.
Hey, I'll phone in before that.
All right.
Thanks, Werner. All the very best to you and the gang in Tilsonburg.
Thank you, guys. Thanks to you.
Okay.
How is your health now?
Oh, very good. I'm doing really well, honestly.
You know, I'm in third gear. I'm looking for overdrive.
There you go. Well, we've got to drive off to our next caller. As a matter of fact, a first-time caller. So that means Frank's reached for the bell. Hey, that's for Lynn calling from, and I got to find out where this is, Hawk Lake. Good morning, Lynn. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where is Hawk Lake?
Okay, it's Hockley.
Oh, Hawk. All right.
Oh, Hockley.
Hockley, it's 5 kilometers or 5 miles east of Hockley Valley Resort.
Oh, all righty. Okay.
Orangeville direction.
Yeah. I got you pretty well nailed. What's your question?
I'm having problems with my tomatoes rotting on the bottom, and I have been using Werner's recipe this year for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, just the black spot has just started coming as my tomatoes are ripening, and what can I do or what's happened?
Well, we're going to redirect you to Werner's complaints department. my guess is most of the calls that are going to come in today and this season are weather related, because it's been such a strange year for weather. You know, we had the wet season, had hot spells. Yeah. And the secret with tomatoes is, and they've discovered this through a lot of research at the University of Guelph, that the more consistent you can be with the treatment of tomatoes, and that is the watering, the fertilizer, everything to do with it, you're going to get the best results. Now, when you have a season like we've had, it's pretty tough to regulate Mother Nature. She's got a bad temper. And so my guess would be, Lynn, that is your problem. It's probably nothing that you're doing or not doing. It's more weather related. And all I can suggest right now in this season is very little. I hate to tell you. Pick off any affected leaves. What you want to concentrate right now is getting those tomatoes to ripen. What I'm finding in my own garden and other people's gardens is there's too much foliage on tomatoes right now. The sun isn't getting to the fruit.
Oh.
So you might want to...
So you got to clear the leaves away and let the sun
thin it out. So sun is your best friend at this point in time. So thinning out the foliage, the leaves, to get some sun on that fruit will not only ripen the fruit, but it might dry up that issue that you're having at the base. And my last comment, Lynn, is a question, not a comment, is how do you have the soil or mulch high on those plants?
Not particularly. I try to put the root in as deep as I can when I'm planting them.
Perfect, yeah.
But I'm finding the plant looks like it's at the end of its life right now. I'm watering every other day from a pond because of the lack of rain, but the plants seem to be, like I said, dying off. They're loaded. The plants looked as healthy as could be, but now all of a sudden this past week they've started this black root problem.
Could there be too much watering going on, Dennis?
No.
Okay. So quick question, and the pond, do you use that for your own use too?
No.
No, you don't.
Just for the frogs.
Yeah. just a shot in the dark. When was the last time you had the water tested?
Never had the pond tested.
Do me a favor and do Frank a favor. Have it tested and tell us the results.
Well, it's not always pond water. It's usually rainwater.
Okay.
But that's been a little scarce.
Yes.
Yep.
So, like, we collect, you know, many rain barrels and empty them as much, but as a backup, we use the pond. So
yeah.
It's...
Yeah, good for you. So the other thing is some sort of tomato wilt or fungus problem that's got. Is it all the plants, Lynn?
No,
just
tomato.
Yes, maybe 10%.
Oh, really? That's a difficult one. Can you send us a photo?
No, I picked them all off. Okay, that was my other part of the question was, what do I do with this rotted one? Do I put them in the compost or should I burn them?
If it's a fungal thing, you're on the right track, Lynn. Burn them.
Get rid of them.
Just in case. That's good. If you took them out, wow, you're ahead of the game. Good for you. Let's hope that you stopped it there. That it doesn't spread to the rest of them.
Well, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Lynn, thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. A bit rainy, though it may be, and I feel badly for a lot of folks who are heading for the X.
I know.
In particular, the people who work at the CNE.
I know.
Oh, man.
But the best news, Frank, is at the X, the garden show is inside.
Well, there you go. Always a bright little spot, that Dennis Flanagan, I'll tell you. We've got to take a little bit of a break right here, and we're going to come back and say hi to Michael in Toronto. You're listening to The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. In for Charlie Dobbin, Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, a bit of a cloudy day, but the sunshine has been brought through to the studio with Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario sitting in very kindly. Thank you very much for our lovely gal, Charlie Dobbin, who is enjoying a new house out there in Prince Edward County. Now, Michael, on the line right around the corner here in Toronto. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to be able to speak with you. I called in last week and spoke with Charlie about a problem I was having with many different specimens and varieties of boxwood on my property. I'm in Etobicoke around, say, Bloor and Royal York area, and it's relevant. So she suggested she'd forgotten the name precisely, but thought it was some sort of mite or whatever, and there was some kind of mite infestation. Okay. But I realized within the days following my call last week that was only the least serious of my problems, and unfortunately, I seem to be hosting a very voracious new pest to attack boxwood, and it's boxwood tree moth.
Oh, man.
Dennis, are you familiar with this?
Oh, Michael, you've hit the question of the day as far as we're concerned. Landscape Ontario is heavily involved in the infestation, and it's brand new. It's an invasive species. We do not know where it came from. I was just talking to someone that came back from Holland yesterday. The boxwood industry in Holland is totally decimated.
Oh, wow.
Millions of plants. plants have been destroyed.
Yeah.
We're hoping that we can get ahead of the game here in Toronto, in Canada, and stop this from spreading.
Yes.
We are in partnership with the ministry. We're in partnership with some private partners right now. So, Michael, what I'd like to do is give you a phone number that you can call me personally.
Oh, okay, certainly.
On Monday. So that's 1-800.
Yes.
265-5656.
5656.
And
yes.
It's extension 303, and that'll get through to me personally.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that on the air, should I, Frank?
No. That's perfect.
That's okay, because I'd like to tell you so that your listeners can be alert.
Yes.
I've had specimens, because again, I mentioned I have different varieties. I have a very mature garden. It's affected variably, boxwoods of different varieties,
yep,
ages. So in, let's say, the space of 5 days, a 30-year-old specimen, about 4 feet high, conical.
Yep.
I'm not sure of that particular variety, doesn't matter, completely defoliated.
Oh, my
Ouch.
God.
Wow. I know.
Days, and I was going out and just picking them off by hand.
Yeah.
Each day, I thought I had cropped them completely,
yeah,
and I would go the next day, see more leaf defoliation,
wow,
and then go and handpick yet again as many. May I say this, quite innocently, last September, late September, early October, totally unaware and blissfully, again, ignorant of this problem, I'd gone out my front door. I have a dark brick home, and there was this ghostly diaphanous moth never,
yeah,
seen before,
yep,
in my life. I called it to the attention of another family member. They said, geez, how strange. It was really just, like I said, diaphanous and ghostly,
yeah,
sitting on the dark brick. And I thought, well, I've never seen that before in my many years now,
no,
on Earth. I said, I can't imagine what it is.
Yeah.
And then now, when I backwardly did my research and I saw the photograph, I said, there
it is.
There it is. Yeah.
Wow.
And you're right, Michael. We no one has seen this before in Toronto.
Isn't
and
that...
where it came from, we've no idea. It coincidentally, a botanist neighbor of yours came home one night, spotted the same thing, and alerted the authorities, and that's how we knew about it. My associate,
Coke. Apparently, I understand.
Yes.
There's a rather small radius.
Yes, there is.
Around here. You know, Dennis, before I forget my thought, I'd like to put something to you. You know what I suspect? I suspect it came from the airport. You might be thinking, oh, ridiculous. No,
yeah,
because that would explain this yeah particular area.
That's a good thought.
We're in the most heavily foliated area,
yeah,
close to the airport.
Huh.
Yeah.
Put it that way. You'd leave my front door, you'd be in a non-traffic period, you'd be,
yeah,
in the airport in about 10, 12 minutes.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's a, yeah, great thought. My
that's what I think. That's, mm-hmm, my personal,
yep,
theory with this transportation of species, because I thought climate change, but I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm glad you phoned in, Michael, because, you know, after the show, I need to talk to Charlie. I need to talk to Frank about becoming partners in this battle, because it is going to be a battle. And you're going to be the first of many calls that we're going to get,
yeah,
on Zoomer Radio.
Well,
about,
good for you for
about
jumping,
this, yes,
jumping onto it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I called back. I wanted people to be alert, because the damage, again, just to tell you,
wow,
it's profound,
yep,
and it's so rapid. You just, I think if you winked in a week,
yep,
you could lose a hedge, whatever,
yes,
in,
oh,
just days. I know you could. It's that voracious, this particular moth's voracious.
You're right. So thanks, Michael. Give me a call on Monday. We'll give you the latest update of what Landscape,
yep,
Ontario is doing about it. And, you know, Frank, I'll let you talk to Charlie.
Yes, I will.
Charlie, wherever you are, hope everything's going well. And now you know the problem was more than just mites. So
that's
I
right
didn't know either.
Okay. Well, bless your heart for calling in, Michael.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Yeah, you bet.
Very much again.
All the very best. Thank you so very much. Gee, I hope we can come,
yeah,
up eventually with a solution to that. But
it's devastating.
What a son of a gun. Where are we? 9:36 on a Saturday morning in the chair for Charlie Dobbin is Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. And we have next on the line from Caledonia, Mabel. Good morning, Mabel.
Good morning, Frank and Dennis.
Mabel, hi.
How are you this morning?
Great.
Just great.
That's great. I have a gardenia tree or bush, and I'm having significant trouble with it this year. I know it can get infestated, and so early I sprayed with just Garden Raid once a week just to make sure that I could keep anything under control, but it didn't work. I have some little, and they could be mealybugs, just a little tiny white cotton spot at the base of every bloom where it comes from the stem up to the bud.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a gardenia, right?
Yes. Mabel? And yeah. I've used the soap and water solution. And I've picked them off day after day after day, but I'm losing my battle. And I have about between 40 and 50 buds on my tree.
Ooh,
so
beautiful.
I don't want to lose them.
No. So a couple of things. One, is it indoors or outside?
It's outside.
It's outside, and you bring it in for the winter?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Have you ever, Mabel, have you ever tried the plastic bag trick? So no matter what product you're using, if you can imagine when you're spraying it, you're probably losing 50%, 70% of the spray. So the idea is next time you're going to go and use something is to put a large plastic bag over the whole plant. And if you can imagine, put your arm up inside the plastic bag and do the treatment that you're doing. It's so much more effective. You're kind of entrapping the spray. And typically what happens, the little mealybugs or the aphids, whatever they are, when they jump off the plant, they bang their head on the plastic bag. No, no.
No. Well, that would help.
No. It's just if you can imagine, it's like putting a mini greenhouse over the plant.
Yeah.
And it's way more effective. So that would be tip number one. If there's anything that's in the actual soil of the plant, use the old dishwasher trick, so a diluted dishwasher solution, and use one of the waterings inside the soil itself, and that will take care of any eggs or larvae in the soil. So you're on the right track, but just try the plastic bag trick, would you, Mabel?
Yes, certainly.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much for joining us on this Saturday morning here on Zoomer Radio AM 740. We've bumped up to our next commercial break, but we'll be back to say hi to Siva here in Toronto momentarily. Dennis Flanagan in for Charlie Dobbin, and this is The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Frank Proctor again with Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario in the stead of Charlie, who's taking some time to move into that gorgeous new home she's got in Prince Edward County. Now, when we first saw Dennis first thing this morning, about 7:45, he said, I've got a special guest I'd like to bring on the show. I said, absolutely. Then he told me about what this guest is going to talk about. You will be amazed what's going to happen. So let's find out. You can introduce our special guest.
Yeah, yes, it is amazing, Frank. And my good friend and associate, Lissa, is going to come on the line here and talk about a project that you won't believe that's going to happen right in the middle of the city of Toronto.
Yeah, good morning, Lissa.
Good morning.
Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, so Lissa, tell us about what you're going to be up to tomorrow morning.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dennis. So like mentioned, we're going to be holding a Green Street Challenge at the intersection of Yonge and Bloor Street, downtown Toronto. So if you don't know, a Green Street Challenge is where we roll out literally a green carpet, so a carpet of sod on a downtown street, turning that street from gray to green for the day. And it's really to create a pop-up park that acts as not only an urban oasis, but also a play space for kids.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fabulous.
I told Frank that this morning, and his eyes are popping out of his head going, Yonge and Bloor. You sure you got the address?
Yeah,
right, Dan?
Really?
Yeah, the busiest intersection in not only Toronto, but I'm guessing Ontario. Lissa is going to stop the traffic personally.
from what time to what time is this underway?
Yeah, for sure. So we're part of the Open Streets Toronto Festival, and the festival runs from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. today, or tomorrow, my bad.
So 4 hours, yeah.
4 hours. So we have 4 hours, and it's 5,000 square feet of sod in the middle of Bloor Street. And we're bringing out a whole slew of toys. So very exciting things for kids, families, and kids at heart, really. And it's to promote outdoor unstructured play. Because we're finding...
That's the bottom line, isn't it? We're into a generation of kids that their heads are down and their thumbs are active, and you're encouraging them to come out and play outside. And the best way to describe, I know you've done six of these across the province. So for Frank, to make his eyes pop out of his head again, just describe 2 minutes of the activity that happens.
For sure. So you're going to be walking down Bloor Street, and then suddenly you're going to come across 5,000 square feet of sod. You'll see various different planting activities. So we have a microgreens activity. We had a rig-a-ma-jig in previous ones. You'll see hula hoops, soccer balls flying. We're going to have from 11 to 11:45, Lululemon is coming out and doing a yoga session on the Green Street. So lots of fun things to do.
I would have loved to have been a fly in the wall when you first suggested this to the city. Did you get any kind of a pushback on that?
The city has been very supportive. So the street closure is in effect. And then it's actually the City of Toronto Parks and Forestry Department are coming out. And they're hosting some of their activities on the Green Street as well. So amazing support from the city, Landscape Ontario members, sod growers and local partners have come together to really make this play space possible.
Fantastic. So 10 a.m. tomorrow, Young and Bloor, Green Street Challenge. Lisa, I'm going to spend the rest of the show trying to convince Frank to come down, and you have a hula hoop for him, don't you?
Oh, goody.
I have it with his name on it, so I'll be there to meet you, Frank.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And thank you for being on the show. That's a fantastic thing. My gosh. All righty. Keep that in mind, my friends, especially if you've got kids in the family. Head down there, Young and Bloor. You couldn't be more downtown than that.
No.
Well, let's welcome, as we had promised earlier, a little chat coming up here with Siva here in Toronto. Good morning, Siva.
Morning, guys. Morning. I'm glad you're back, Frank.
Well, thank you.
Dennis, I want to know what I can do with my raspberry canes that didn't have fruit. Should I cut them back or should I leave them for the following year?
Yeah, do you happen to know what variety they are? Whether they're an ever-bearing one?
No, I don't think they're ever-bearing. They bear once a year and that's it.
Yeah, so probably, and how old are they? How long have you had them in?
Probably over 20 years.
Oh, wow. So probably some are getting pretty thick.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you've answered there, Ziva. You've got to thin them out, prune them back, get some fresh growth coming up from the base. They just need to be rejuvenated, basically.
Okay.
20 years, you know, is great. And is great. So
I usually do cut them, like take out all the rotten canes.
Yeah,
so
good.
But these ones have grown up since I did the pruning, and they're tall, but they have no fruit. So.
Yeah, time to be a little bit ruthless, and that's the answer. Just a quick comment here. It's been so nice how probably 80% of the callers have asked about Frank's health today.
Yeah, thank you.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah, he's a lovely person. I've never met him, but he's beautiful.
Well, I can tell you, actually, since his little time off, he's come in and he looks 20 years younger.
Yes.
I don't know what they did to him. But
injected with some hormones or something. Anyway, no.
Anyway, get out to the pruning shears and get to work, Ziva. Thank you.
Okay, so just level them all back.
Yep.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Siva. And bye-bye. For the good wishes as well. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. From Eden, Ontario, we've got Anne on the line. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Eden. Wow.
Yeah.
The garden
good
of.
Good to have you back, Frank. It's so good to hear your voice.
And well, thank you,
Dennis, for filling in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Last year, I purchased some sedum with golden orangey flowers and year-end clearance. I repotted them and put them behind the garage and in their pots, and they are currently very healthy and starting to bud. I think they're pink.
Oh.
Is it possible that I've lost my mind? I know you can change the color of hydrangea. Is it possible to change them back?
If I had to take a guess at it, it's probably something to do with the amount of light that is getting. That's pretty unusual.
Full sun.
Hey, wow. The only other guess I'm taking is there was more than one variety in the same pot, which often happens when you have succulents. They tend to put as many plants as they can in one pot. And if someone put more than one variety in there, then possibly that pink variety which typically it tends to be a bit stronger, a bit more dominant, and could have taken over the rest of the pot. Is there any yellow showing? No, nothing.
Well, they're not in bloom yet.
Oh.
I saw the pink, I just thought of hydrangeas, how you need to rusty nails at them and add acid or something.
No, I'd go inside and drink a few rusty nails.
I'd be joining you.
That's the question of the day, I think, Frank, because you said I could be stumped, and you've stumped me.
I thought Mike had the question of the day. Maybe you could look into this. I don't have a computer.
I will. I look into it, and because, as Frank said, I'm coming back next week.
Yeah,
2 weeks in a row. That Charlie, boy, she's got a 2-week party happening.
I will be listening for
sure. Yeah, listen, and we'll see if we can come up with the sedum answer. Maybe I'll give my good friend Paul Zammit at the Toronto Botanical Gardens a call. He's an expert on that.
They were fully grown
perennials,
and that's the only color that was in the pot. One sedum in each pot.
Really?
Beautiful.
Well, we'll
but
check into
I
it for
have
you.
Pink. I don't
wow.
Anymore.
That's so funny. And thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you next week. Guaranteed, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Okay. We have to take another little bit of a commercial break here. You are listening to The Garden Show. Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. In for Charlie Dobbin. I'm Frank Proctor. Stay tuned. We've got Doreen on the line coming up next.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Alrighty, as promised, we have Doreen on the line from St. Catharines. Hi, Doreen.
Good morning. Nice to hear the jovialty this morning.
Thank you.
Frank, I was wondering, did you have a little nip and tuck while you were in there or something?
Gee whiz, if I'd thought of that,
I'm calling to talk about peonies. It's an old problem, I know.
Yeah.
The white, I call it dust, that's on some of the leaves.
Yes.
I have a huge peony plant, which gets, it's east, southeast, it's pure. It's beautiful. None of this stuff. I have plants at the east side of the house and the north, and they've all got this dust.
Yep. And do you find that the ones with the dust are in a little bit more shade than
definitely,
the others?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the issue. That's unfortunately what that dust or fungus or mildew disease is looking for. The bright sun will burn it off very quickly, but anything in shade is going to increase that problem.
I sort of wondered if that would be the issue, but now you've just called it mildew. Should I get rid of them then?
No. Oh, no, absolutely not. It would tell you if it needed to go because it would turn from white into brown decaying leaves and not many times. Peonies are very tough plants. That's why they've been around for so long.
Hundreds and hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm. And what color were they, by the way?
Oh, deep pink.
Oh, beautiful.
Like fuchsia, I guess you would call it. It's a huge, it's just gorgeous.
Absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
So, yes. So
that puts
just
me at ease then.
Yeah, just a bit of a shade problem. And hopefully, tip of the day. If those leaves are falling on the ground, which they will, obviously, in the fall, collect them up. And as Frank mentioned earlier, try to burn them, get rid of them. Because mildew, fungus diseases will possibly overwinter in the compost or in the ground. Be a little good with the house cleaning September, October when they fall down. Thanks for the
Actually,
call.
I do mine right after Halloween every year.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, they're still green and everything, and I think it's time.
Yeah,
to do
you wear a costume?
you don't want to know that. Thank you for your help.
A ton of fun, Doreen. Thank you for being with us this morning. And just around the corner from you is Julie in St. Catharines. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question, serious question regarding Creeping Charlie and taking over my lawn.
Yeah. Yeah, she's moved, so there's not much of a problem anymore. oh boy, that is the number one weed question that probably comes
and
into.
And those roots go everywhere, and they're devil to get rid of.
They do, they do. And it seems to be, whatever you do, it makes it worse. If you pull and you only get half the plant, it tends to propagate the root underneath the ground. So is it all over the lawn at this point in time?
It's about halfway.
Halfway, yeah. So, I hate to tell you, you know, you can pick away, but it really isn't going to solve the problem. If it really gets to the point it's unbearable, you've got to go to the next stage, and coming up to September is the best time to do this. If you're going to decide to eradicate that part of the lawn, do away with it, new topsoil, new seed, and start afresh. So if it's that bad, coming up to September is the best time to do it.
What about the old business of covering with the black plastic?
Yeah.
And, you know, making sure no light gets in, and it just bakes the ground and kills off everything in that soil.
And Frank, for years, listeners have thought you slept through this show. So you have been listening because you're absolutely right. That's the best, most effective, and the best organic way of getting rid of any type of weed is no light, no growth.
Right. Now, how long do you have to leave that plastic on?
It depends on the weed, depends on the problem, but at least a month.
Okay.
So if you wanted to do that now, you could do it right now. Wait till the end of the show. You could do put that thick plastic
here.
put that thick plastic down, completely get rid of the weed. You're going to get rid of any grass that's in there too, and then start afresh in September. Try to get weedless, you know, no topsoil that hasn't got any weed seed in, and a top quality grass seed, and start afresh. So, bit of a challenge, but if you're up for it, be a great time of year.
Okay, thank you very much, Julie. We're fresh out of racetrack here as we head toward the 10 o'clock news with Gavin. And then, of course, we'll turn things over to the guys from Dave's Corner Garage. Always a ton of fun listening to those guys. And listen, by all accounts, and I'm presuming a lot here. However, thank you very much, Dennis. What a great job you've done for Charlie today here from Landscape Ontario. You'd mentioned your phone number, and I'm thinking of Michael and that call about the boxwood plants and so forth. Would you mind if I gave your number again?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you'd like to reach out on Monday to have a chat personally with Dennis, his number is 1-800-265-5656, extension 303. And Dennis, we're going to see you again next week. And my buddy in the next room there, Duncan, super job operating, my man. Thank you so very much. Frank Proctor, see you again at 1 o'clock today on Zoomer Radio.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.